Who could foresee this global chaos that we're all in? David Icke did a long, long time ago. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, here he is now, David Icke. You now know him as a full-time investigator looking into who, what is controlling the world, really controlling the world. Author of a number of books, including Alice in Wonderland, The World Trade Center Disaster, Infinite Love is Only the Truth, Everything Else is an Illusion, and he's working on some others as we speak. David Icke. Hey, David, how are you?
I'm all right, George.
Good to have you. I hear you're going to be in Los Angeles in October.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be in Santa Clara in the last weekend in September, talking over 2 days, what I call my full Monty. I put as much information out as I can. It takes about 7 or 8 hours. And then on the 1st of October, I'm going to be in Los Angeles, doing four-hours evening talk. I think it's called the Million Dollar Theater.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not involved in the organization.
It's
You've
downtown,
probably heard of it.
Downtown L.A. So you're starting the speaking tour again. It's good. It's about
time. I tell you what, I've just come back from the most extraordinary trip to Croatia. A few minutes after I arrived, I wondered if I'd just come from the airport or a space station. I thought I was on a different planet. in a period of... I've never had it before, but like this, but the mainstream media were going crazy for the information. I was having mainstream television journalists coming up and saying, "I read your books. Really good to meet you." I was doing like 20 minutes live on the prime time main television channel news program,
which would have been unheard of a few years ago, right?
It was unbelievable, and I recorded two 40-minute documentaries for the main television channel called On the Edge of Science about the nature of reality. The main Sunday newspaper did two pages about my information, and the reporter actually said, having heard him put this together, "I think he's right. I think what he's saying is correct." I mean, I'm thinking, would someone please pinch me here, because I'm going to wake up in a minute. And their version of Time is called Globus magazine. They did three pages on my information. And the thing that struck me, George, is you could almost say it was a glimpse of what could be, because within hours of arriving in this country I'd never been in before, people were stopping me at the hotel and in the street. "Were you the guy on the television today? Because I think you got something, you know. You made me think." And it really struck me how absolutely vital to this global enslavement that the suppression of information through the mainstream media really is. And in a matter of days, the audience arriving for the talk, I did it in the open air in a park in a big marquee, and we had a thunderstorm. It was great fun. But hundreds couldn't actually get there because there was not enough room. And this was all generated once people saw the information put together in the mainstream media where they get their information from and wouldn't normally see it elsewhere. It was just an incredible microcosm and experience of what could be if the walls of suppression of information came down. The world would be transformed.
And it sounds like it's being chipped away at least, doesn't it?
Yes, it is. The internet and programs like this are chipping it away. And people are waking up. And, of course, in that area of the world where you had the Bosnia and the Kosovo, the Croatia conflict, not that long ago, they became aware that the world was not how they thought it was before, because a lot of that conflict, if not all of it, was totally manipulated. There was a television documentary out there that somebody was telling me about. They're trying to get me a copy with English subtitles, which exposed the fact that something like 1,500 troops were moving around that region, carrying out the atrocities, carrying out horrific events that then, of course, gets the reaction. Because starting a war is dead easy. You know, if I walk in a bar and smack somebody, he's going to defend himself. We've got to fight.
And everybody jumps in.
Yeah, a war's no different. And they're now beginning to understand that that whole conflict was manipulated into place by a relatively small group that were moving around, causing the atrocities, getting the reaction, and the war got out of hand after that. And, of course, what it's done, George, and this is one of the main points of that, it's it's broken up that country into different groups,
That's right.
Different regions. But this is what's happening now. The European Union is starting to pick them off. Slovenia has been picked off already into the European Union spider's web. And one of the things that I really emphasized, I mean, the government there must have loved me last week, over and over again, every time I had an opportunity, was about the European Union. And it, what's interesting, George, you know, talk about subliminals. Croatia's not even in the European Union yet. But when I went to the main television station, their version of the BBC, flying outside the front was the flag of the European Union. I went to the Parliament building in Zagreb, and outside the Parliament building, there's the Croatian flag flying, and next to it is the flag of the European Union, not even in the European Union.
Gee.
And in one of the major parts of the city, major focal points of the city, is this big building called the European Union Information Center, with these European Union flags all over it, and it's pulling people in. And I'll tell you what the theme was of people. What the heck is this European Union about? One of the points I was making is you've just fought a war, a horrific war to secure your independence, and now your government's going to hand it over to the European Union for the swish of a pen. And they said, well, we can't really operate outside the European Union as an independent state anymore. It more is the way the world's gone. And this is the thing. Fear. Well, you must go in the European Union. It's just like in Africa, that when people there have told me how the British Empire went in there with people like Cecil Rhodes, and they caused conflict there. They played tribe off against tribe. And then when one tribe was close to being destroyed by another, when the war between them had been manipulated, in went Cecil Rhodes to say, look, you're going to be destroyed here. The only way you're going to survive is if you come under the protection of the British Empire. And in this way, a relatively few people, led by Rhodes and his like, took over the whole of Southern Africa. And this is a technique that's now being played with regard to the European Union.
David, are you in the United Kingdom getting blasted economically like it's happening here in the United States? Has it filtered out to you that far yet?
Oh, big time. I mean, I'm just got the rolling news program on here with the sound down. And the news this morning is that the biggest mortgage lender in Britain, the Halifax Bank of Scotland, is called, as a merger in itself, is being taken over by Lloyds because it's got itself in such a state. And what's happening with this? I mean, you know what it feels like, George, sometimes?
Man.
What it feels like is... it feels like watching a road traffic accident in slow motion over the years, and the guy who's just about to walk in front of the bus is laughing at you and saying, don't be ridiculous, there is no bus. And now it's all coming out into people's faces where they can no longer deny it. And what one of the aspects of this this so-called credit crunch, I mean, this is just an old technique that's played. You put money into circulation theoretically by making lots of loans. That's how money.
And then you pull it
out.
Money.
And then you take it out.
Yep.
And for no fault of their own, not because people have sat on the side of the street and said, I'm not working anymore and I don't want a house. Nothing silly like that. It's because simply they want to work. They want to provide for their family, but the money's been taken out of circulation, and therefore there's not enough money in circulation to provide the economic activity that there was before. So we move into what we call a depression. And incidentally, what a lot of people don't realize, when you go to a bank and you borrow money, or apparently borrow money, you're not actually borrowing money. You're borrowing figures on a screen, just the theoretical figures. But the point is that when you go into a bank and say you borrow $50,000, what they do is create out of nothing $50,000, and then you start paying interest on $50,000. However, the interest that you will pay on that money over the period of the so-called loan is not created, only the $50,000. So that means that at any point in the so-called economic cycle, or whatever they want to call it, there is never, ever, ever enough money in circulation to pay back all the capital and all the interest on the loans that are in circulation. Therefore, bankruptcy and horrific economic consequences for families and businesses and stuff. It's all written into the system on purpose. But one of them, as I've been talking about all these years, if you're the few and you want to control the many, you have to centralize decision making. You have to centralize power, because the more diversity you have, the less power the center can
have. And you have to make people beg and get down on their knees and say, "Help me, help me."
Yeah, that's the point, George. You know, the fear is the four-letter word that controls the world. And when people are in fear, they look outside of themselves for things and people to protect them from what they fear. But in terms of the banking situation that we're facing now, what is happening is, if you look at the pyramid of control, you see, you know, the people that run Merrill Lynch or the people that run Halifax Bank of Scotland or Fannie Mae
or
whatever.
Lehman Brothers or whatever.
Yeah, Lehman Brothers, yeah. They're not at the top of the pyramid. The people at the top of the pyramid ultimately control all of them. You know, they're all the same, different masks on the same face at the highest level. But then you've got the people that run them, and they... they're people who are completely expendable to this conspiracy. So when, say, Merrill Lynch gets into trouble, the Bank of America comes in and effectively takes them over. Well, the people that ultimately control Merrill Lynch ultimately control the Bank of America.
Mm-hmm.
So what, nothing's actually changed for them, except that there are fewer masks on the face and fewer choices, therefore, apparent choices for people. You have centralized power.
Precisely.
More in terms of the banking
system. And you might have weeded out some people who weren't playing your game.
Exactly. When you look at the crash of 1929 and what followed, the number of banks in America alone absolutely plummeted, and people made a fortune out of that, as well as vast numbers of people losing everything. In fact, in this country, and it's probably the same in America, people here have made a fortune out of the collapse of Lehman Brothers. I mean, what they've been doing, it's called shorting, and it's buying shares on a short-term basis and selling them off.
Yes.
Almost
like you're borrowing the shares to sell them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so what these people have been doing, and it's now being exposed, at least in one newspaper, is they've been betting that Lehman Brothers would collapse. Then they've been using this shorting system to get hold of shares, and then they've sold them off
way. David, isn't that what someone did to the airlines prior to 9/11? They shorted the airline stocks?
All the short-term options. And,
yeah.
And it's the way the system works and the way it can be exploited. And what happens then is they're selling these shares off. They start a momentum. Hey, Lehman Brothers is in trouble. And other people start selling their shares.
Yes.
And suddenly you're in trouble. Now, by the time Lehman Brothers collapsed, or just before it, 20% of the shares were held in this shorting system. Because of the way the system works, if you want to target a bank or target a company, you can bring it down very quickly. Because, as I've been saying for all these years, when you're moving trillions of dollars around the world markets every day, you're deciding if they go up or down. You're deciding if this company survives or prospers or goes under. It's when you go above, beyond the names on the bank, if you like, on the front of the bank, you go into that upper echelon where they all connect into the into all these apparently different banks. That's where the power is. When people say, "Oh, what's happened? It's come out of nowhere. We didn't see this coming." Well, the people that made it happen saw it coming because they made it happen.
They made a lot of money watching it happen.
Exactly.
What was the game here, David? I mean, what's the plan? Because I don't think a lot of us see the big picture yet. We see the collapse. We see the tightening. We believe it could get worse, but there's a plan here. And what's the plan? What do they want?
Well, it's one of the things that I'm going to go into in these presentations in America, because the world can seem extremely complex and bewildering if you don't have the coordinates. And the coordinates, in terms of the question you raise, is where do they want to take the world? They want a structure which has a world government which will dictate to all countries, a world army to impose the will of the world government on countries or areas that don't want to accept it, and NATO and the UN peacekeeping operation, those sort of things are the stepping stones towards the world army. I was saying years ago, back in the mid-90s, watch for the excuses to have NATO operating outside its sphere of official influence.
And when did they try to pick up the handguns and the guns in the United States, our right to carry arms? When did they say, because of global conflict and chaos, we're concerned, we need your guns? So are they going to do that?
Well, I'm sure they will, because you know, I'm not into guns at all, but and it's just not my scene whatsoever. However, from their point of view, an unarmed population in America, it will be easier to take over than an armed one. But the structure, this structure is so important, because you start to see, not from this perspective, from seeing where they want to go, you can see the methods and the journey they're taking to get there. So they want a world army. They want a world central bank which will control all global finance. They want a single world currency that would be electronic only, no cash.
So
that's all,
true.
That's all gone.
So true.
And they want a microchip population connected to a global computer. Now, under that, they want the European Union, the American Union, for the whole of the Americas eventually, the African Union, which they have, the Asia-Pacific Union, and possibly a Middle Eastern Union or something like that. And these super states would answer to the world government. Now, under that would come what we now call nation states. And what they want to do with them is break them up into regions to de-unify any unified response to the edifice of power above. And the, I mean, for instance, in this country now, as I was pointing out, in Croatia, around 70-75% of the laws that are introduced in this country now originate in the European Union. And if the British courts have accepted that if a law is made in Britain and a law is made by the bureaucrats, not even the elected people, passive elected people in the European Union, if the bureaucrats in Brussels make a law that's at odds with the British law, the European law takes precedence and the British law has to go. So this is the kind of the direction they want to go. Now, a constant centralization of power, and now, of course, we now have a name for it, globalization, is the move towards this global centralization of power. And what we're seeing, if you break it down and step back a bit with this chaos, in so-called chaos in the financial markets, it is chaos in the way it plays out. It's not chaos behind the scenes for those who are making it happen. It's cold, calculated manipulation there. But it's quickening the rate of globalization within the banking system, because the big fish are now, I mean, once you've got to the point where big fish or massive fish are taking over big fish, then you know that this process of centralization of global power in the financial system is really at an advanced level. We're not talking about big companies taking over little companies anymore.
No.
But vast companies being taken over by mega companies.
It's a different game, David.
Because it's advanced, because it's moved on. And the thing is, George, that there's a simple equation. The more you centralize power, the more power you have centrally to centralize even quicker.
So true.
And that's why the whole thing's got faster and faster.
We're going to be right back with you. David Icke, our special guest, all night long on Coast to Coast AM. And our special guest tonight, David Icke. Hey, by the way, when I was delivering the story about the attack in Yemen, I may have said atomic weapons. I meant automatic weapons. Big difference. No atomic weapons. We'll be back with David Icke in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We're with David Icke tonight on Coast to Coast AM. David, you saw this happening Years ago. What were the signs then?
Well, by the way, George, I'm just watching the rolling news program here, just what we were just talking. This merger between the Halifax Bank of Scotland and Lloyds TSB over this problem that the Halifax were having over mortgage lending. understanding, they now control, that joint company will be 40% of British current accounts.
Oh, my gosh.
40%.
40%. So it's almost like one company. That's it.
Yeah. So it just shows you the rate that the centralization is going. What happened, George, is that over a period of time, starting in the early 90s, although I started to awaken in the 1980s, I came across increasingly this agenda. I had an amazing, what you might call spiritual experiences, not religious, an awakening experience, if you like, in the early 1990s, and a lot of paranormal, if you like, things happened around me, except they're not paranormal at all. They're just paranormal from the perception of
what is normal,
deluded sense of normality. Yeah, and they're perfectly explainable. But from that moment, I started going on this journey, and it was just an extraordinary series of synchronistic quote coincidences, which were leading me to more and more information, people, experiences, personal experiences, and people, accounts, documents, information from endless different sources that were like handing me pieces in a puzzle. And it became very clear early on that, first of all, the people that appeared to be running the world weren't running it. But the deeper and deeper and deeper I got, this agenda started to unfold. And of course, for a while, I wrote purely from what you might call a five sense level, the one we daily experience, like we're talking about now, banking manipulation, political manipulation, and manipulated wars, etc. But the deeper I went into it, I started coming across all the non-human level of this, and then moved through that into the other dimensional level of this, and I'm still going. How deep does the rabbit hole go? A lot deeper than I've got so far, although I've got pretty deep, but we have to keep going, because when you look at the unbelievably multi-leveled attacks on human perception, human health, human prosperity, all these different multi-leveled attacks that are happening in sync with each other, and pushing people to in a certain direction, and pushing them to enslavement mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially, et cetera, et cetera. There's no way, George, that all that is orchestrated by men in dark suits sitting around the table. That is at the level of still playing it out. Then you can go to levels of it, like I talk about reptilian entities and other non-human entities that are behind it, one step back. But for me, that's another level of it playing out within this this matrix reality that we think is real and solid. And I'm still moving. I'm still going. And I think that in the end, you're going to find some kind of consciousness, disembodied consciousness is behind all this. It's almost like a gigantic computer game. And the more, you see, one of the things that happened in this journey is there came a point where my whole focus, and that focus came purely from things that were coming into my life in a most synchronistic, staggeringly synchronistic way, is I started to focus on the nature of reality. And this is why I talk so much about this when I do my presentations and in my books, because if you only talk about the way it plays out, and we need to know this.
Sure.
How manipulated. But if we only talk about that, it's basically like looking at a movie screen and thinking, how do I change the movie? Well, you're not going to do it by shouting at the movie. You've got to find out where the movie's being projected from, and that's where my focus is. And so this is so multi-level, this conspiracy. And what I find, well, not sad, but it's a bit disappointing sometimes, is the way so many other people within the conspiracy research arena dismiss anything that's outside of the five sense level of manipulation, because their belief system will not go there.
But all they've got to do now, David, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. All they have to do is look at what's happening now worldwide. It's so keenly obvious that this has been manipulated and done on purpose, and greed and everything you can think of, yet they still deny it, don't they?
Yeah, and the thing is, George, again, when you look not just at the multi-level complexity in the way it plays out, complexity that is happening in this incredibly connected, synchronized way, look back through what we call history and how the thing has been progressed through history. And people have said to me in the past, it's an understandable question, why would people in way back in what we call time, why would they have dedicated their lives to advancing this agenda of centralization of global power, the Orwellian global dictatorship, when they knew they weren't going to be around to see it? And then you come into the modern world and you say, well, how come that politicians come in of one party and then go out, and other politicians come in of another party and go out, but no matter who's there, nothing changes. The same things happen. So, and what I'm saying is, when you look at those things, it's so obvious there is a coordinating force that's behind all these things, that's pulling the strings. And they're here today, gone tomorrow, politicians and business leaders and bankers. They are just the vehicles to play this out. There's something else behind this. And we need to open our minds to this and not let programmed belief systems, be they religious, political, or worldview, whatever, to stop us going there. We need to open our minds, because this world is not just a little bit not like we thought it was. It is absolutely nothing like we thought it was. And I've been saying for years, when we find out what this reality really is, we're going to laugh for weeks at the thought of what we believed it was before. And those that are ultimately behind this, they understand how reality works. They understand how we decode reality and how we put our spin on reality. And therefore, they're in a massive position of manipulation. So these two things have to go hand in hand. We have to expand our consciousness to understand the greater picture of who we are as well as where we are. And we also need to do the practical things within daily life, like ceasing to cooperate with our own enslavement, because the few can't control the many unless the many control each other.
Why does it seem, David, that it's happening so fast? Almost as if there's an agenda or a deadline.
Well, I think two reasons for that. One is that, like I said earlier, the faster you centralize, the faster you can centralize, because you've got more power to do so. But the last point, I think, is extremely important. There does seem to be, within this whole unfolding scenario, a panic, a feel of panic about it, because as this, and it was a thing that really hit me in Croatia, as this is unfolding on one level, and we're thinking, oh my goodness me, it's moving so fast, well, oh my goodness me, what are we going to do? And that is understandable, that is true. But on another level, which doesn't, of course, get in the mainstream media or anything, and therefore doesn't get equal coverage in terms of the speed and power of change, is that people are starting to break out of the trance, because that's what we're in. We've been in a hypnotic trance, and this information that we were putting out has the effect, when people get access to it in a coordinated dot connecting way, it has the effect to, if you like, snap the fingers. I've seen it. People go, oh, I see it. Now, they couldn't see it before. And so this awakening is going on, and they're trying to slam the cell door shut and put all these positions of control in place, and techniques and structures of control in place, before enough people have woken up to bring the house of cards down. And their jewel in the crown in that regard is the microchip, because the body is actually an incredibly advanced holographic computer.
Sure. That'll be the next stop.
They know that if they can get microchips inside the body computer, they can manipulate people physically, mentally, and emotionally, and that's what they want. And of course, that's now being pushed more and more around the world, the whole microchipping thing, which, again, when I and others talked about this 10, 15 years ago, it was a joke. You know, microchip people, you read too much science fiction, mate. and here we are, you know. I mean, if you really look back at the whole thing, George. You read science fiction a few decades ago, and you've got the world today coming up more and more.
Absolutely. You know, it's almost like Dick Tracy. I remember seeing that as a kid, reading the comic books. And you would look at the gadgets they had then, David. And you said, are we really going to have that? And here we have. We have it, and we're surpassing it.
Well, this is another point and example of what I'm talking about we've got to open our minds. You know, one of the greatest ways to enslave people mentally is to implant their sense of possibility. If you can implant someone's sense of what is a possibility, you will therefore dictate what they believe is possible. I mean, that's an obvious truism, but we're obviously often rather we forget what's actually in our face. So if you can limit what people believe to be possible, then they will then laugh in the face of information that says what's going on, because they say that's not possible, that can't be done. No, you believe it can't be done. And this is the greatest imprisoning technique that they have. It's imprisoning our sense of perception and possibility. And even in conspiracy research, I meet people or come across people often who can open their minds to a certain level that still encompasses their original belief system, but they can't make that leap out of it into the scale, the real scale of what's actually unfolding before us. And unless we do, we are never going to get to the bottom of what's going on and what's behind it. And if you can't get to the projector, you can't change the movie. And that's why it's like Einstein said, you cannot solve problems with the same level of consciousness that created them. And that's what we try to do in this world. And that's why we go round and round and round on the merry-go-round. Different faces, different names going round and in power at different times, but nothing changes. We've got to expand consciousness, and we've got to break out of these irrelevant, ridiculously limiting religious, social, cultural, national, and political belief systems, because so many times I see people who think they're exposing the system when they are completely enslaved by it through their belief system. We need to have a blank sheet of paper, and Socrates is supposed to have said in ancient Greece, wisdom is knowing how little we know. Once you accept that, your mind is always open, not to believe anything and everything. It's always open to all possibility. And then you break out of these mind prisons of limitation of perception.
If this continues at the pace it's happening, what are their next steps? What do they plan to do?
Oh, the biggest thing on their agenda is the Third World War. This is to complete the job started by the First World War. See, if you want to change society very rapidly and in a dramatic way, there's nothing better than a war. Any society in a local area or globally that has a war is never the same again.
You change boundaries.
Everything. And after the First World War, which was completely manipulated, I've gone into it in detail in some of my books, the power in the world was in far fewer hands at the end of the war than it was at the start, and they had a first throw at a Trojan horse for world government, which was called the League of Nations. When that didn't quite hold, Second World War led to the United Nations, and at that very significant centralization organization globally. The Third World War is designed to bring that whole thing in that I talked about earlier. First of all, they want it to involve primarily North America, Europe, Russia, and China. And the idea is to then be able, under this technique that I call problem, reaction, solution, offer the solution to stop this ever happening again. They'll have a global population in terror, in fear, economic collapse, war, all this stuff. And anyone in that state is going to look to anyone, save us, do something, do
please.
And what they'll offer is a world army and the dismantling of all national armies to stop that another world war happening. And a world government to make sure that world wars don't and great conflicts don't break out again. And so you've got your structure. And people will go, yeah, anything but this. I mean, yeah, I can't go too much into this at the moment because I need to get lots more information about it. But I have come across information that, for instance, the European Union is pouring money into new rail networks in Eastern Europe, which are not talked about, and it shouldn't, because it shouldn't be using European Union funds for that. And I have this from really good.
They're going to need to send goods, sources, weaponry,
yeah. No,
everything.
No, no. Troops. What I'm told is these railway lines are primarily for the World Army,
yep.
moving the World Army. Because this is, see, this stuff, that when it unfolds, like on the television news, and you're watching it, that's the outcome. But the planning of this sequence of events, like dominoes falling, has started decades and decades and decades ago. Because when you begin to appreciate that this is not men in dark suits around the table that are originating this, they are playing it out, you move into other levels of dimension where they don't have the same relationship to linear time that we have, and therefore they are manipulating this timeline, if you like, dimension from another one, and they can move up and down that timeline, and so it's not something that is just about the timeline that we have, and so these things can be orchestrated in our perspective vast amounts of time before they play out.
Are they going to give us a breather in between, David?
Oh, I think this is this is the if you like, we're in the final minutes now.
No breather, then.
Oh, when I say final minutes, I mean we're in the last few years.
So the intensity will continue.
Oh yes, and it will start to ratch up, and indeed it is ratcheting up. But it's within our power to bring an end to this if we act in a unified way. I mean, literally, there are billions and billions of people being enslaved at the top of the pyramid, where they absolutely know what they're doing and are coldly calculating what they're doing. You're looking at a relative handful of people, and what they've done brilliantly, I have to say, if you look at it from a manipulation
from a strategy point, sure.
Yeah, they have divided and ruled the population with a series of religions, which, as I point out in my books, are actually worshipping the same deities, and it's not the deity they think they're worshipping. When you look at all these different religions, they're based on the worship of the sun and the moon. You know, it's no accident that the international symbol for Islam is the sun and the moon.
Let's talk about the
ancient Babylon, you know.
The brilliant strategy next on Coast to Coast AM.